You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
I have a real treat of a podcast for you today. Before the Sacramento Kings take on the New York Knicks in the Golden 1 Center tonight, I am going to be joined by Katie Hunter, of course, Sacramento Kings sideline reporter, television host. You see her on pre and post game before and after every single game during the broadcast as well. Katie is phenomenal, has a WNBA background, has been covering the Kings for many, many years. Also, I'm proud to say, is a friend of mine. And I'm so happy to have her back here on the Locked On Kings podcast. She's going to provide some really interesting, unique perspective on the Kings' defensive struggles, the overall development of the younger players, where the Kings have to go, the timeline for that development, and just her overall observations for the fixable problems that the Kings are facing and have faced, not just this season, but really since they were last in the playoffs in 2006. Get comfortable. You're going to enjoy this episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello and welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all offseason. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I've been a Sacramento sports radio host for the last 6 years. This is season number 7 for me, covering the Kings both as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist. And through my time here in Sacramento, in the sports broadcasting industry, I've met a lot of people, made a lot of friends. I'm happy to say that Katie Hunter is one of those friends. I worked with her at Sports 1140 KHDK for over a year when she was a morning show host here with Carmichael Dave. And during that time, I really grew to appreciate not just her basketball knowledge, which has always been there, but just her overall sports knowledge. Katie does a really good job communicating and bridging the gap between the athletic perspective and the general fan or media member perspective. So it's always a lot of fun for me getting to speak with her because I know that she's going to be able to, if nothing else, present an alternate viewpoint from my own when it comes to Sacramento Kings basketball or whatever sports topic we're talking about. I'm so happy to have her back here on the Locked On Kings podcast. I hope you are as well. So please enjoy my conversation with Sacramento Kings television host and sideline reporter, Katie Hunter. It's been too long since I've had the pleasure of speaking with one Katie Hunter. You might know her as Katie Christensen, but Katie Hunter it is now. And Katie, you can find her on the pregame show for Sacramento Kings broadcast. Also, of course, doing the sideline reporting, but not on the sidelines, at least for this season. She also does post-game with Kyle and Coase. Phenomenal job covering the Sacramento Kings. Been in that position for many, many years. And on top of that, of course, is plenty of basketball experience with her time in the WNBA. Katie, I'm so glad to have you back here on the Locked On Kings podcast. It was good to see you a couple of weeks ago or about a week ago inside the Golden 1 Center. I look forward to being able to see you more at sporting events in the future. But thank you for coming on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And it's crazy how that's just kind of the new norm right now is everyone can do their jobs remotely and there's hardly anyone at the arena. But at some point, Matt, we'll get back to normal and we see each other on a regular basis.
What's interesting is I spoke with Sean Cunningham here on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. And one of the things he told me is he never wants this to feel normal. He always wants it to be abnormal, being in an empty arena, watching an NBA game. And you know, maybe better than I do or Sean does or anybody else, how important energy is to the game of basketball. Basketball is a game of runs. And I can only imagine with some of the wins and success that the Kings enjoyed earlier on in the season, some moments that even rookie Tyrese Halliburton had inside an empty Golden 1 Center, how loud that building would have been. Now, also, there have been some bad games this year where I'm sure Kings fans would have happily spoken their mind inside the Golden 1 Center, maybe raining down a few boos every now and then with how the Kings have been playing. But from your perspective, taking that crowd energy away from basketball, especially when it's such an important part of the identity of the Sacramento Kings, do you think that's having an effect on the inconsistencies of the Sacramento Kings, or is that too broad of an excuse?
No, you know, first of all, I'm not going to use it as an excuse, but it is a reality, in my opinion. You know, there's every team is facing the same thing. So it's hard to say that it is an excuse, but it is part of the reality. I think the difference for me, and I kind of was thinking about this during the last game earlier this week on Wednesday, when the Kings were on the road against the Clippers. And of course, we were at Golden One Center doing the broadcast because that is what basketball is right now. I was thinking about it. You know, this Kings team is young, no matter how you slice it. Yes, they have some veteran players, but the core of their team are all still on their rookie contracts, you know. And when you think of that, you realize that inexperience in this league really does factor in. And for me, I kind of was thinking as a, from a player perspective, you know, veteran teams, playoff teams that have been there year after year, teams that have all-stars and finals MVPs and all of these things like the Clippers, for example, they have the ability to kind of rely on experience. And that's why they're perennial playoff teams and all-stars and all of these things. And when I look at the Kings, you know, they're a young team. And I think that one of the big issues we've seen this season is that they're not able to manufacture their own energy and momentum on a regular basis. And to me, having a crowd around you really does factor into that, whether you're at home and your home crowd is behind you. You know, I thought when Tyrese Halliburton got his first NBA start, how awkward that must have been for him to not have it in front of a packed house. You know, I still remember my first WNBA start, and it came in Madison Square Garden. And believe it or not, that arena was sold out for that game. And then the next night we played in Washington and I got my second start and that arena was sold out. And I remember that feeling of being surrounded and, you know, stepping out there and having your name called in the starting lineups. And every rookie remembers that. And I was like, it's kind of a shame that Tyrese doesn't get that experience. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in terms of the Kings, like they don't have their home crowd behind them. And then on the road, you also have the ability, when you silence a home crowd, it also feeds your energy and your momentum. And it just occurred to me the other day, you know what? I think this is probably impacting the Kings more than a team like, say, the Clippers or the Lakers, just because of their youth and inexperience.
Today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag, the official sports gambling partner of the Locked On Podcast Network. And tonight, the Kings and the Knicks battle inside the Golden One Center. And for the first time in what seems like forever, the Kings are favored in this game on BetOnline.ag, -4 at this point in time. The New York Knicks, of course, played and surprisingly won last night against the Golden State Warriors. The Knicks are 8-8 on the season, but BetOnline likes the Sacramento Kings' chances to bounce back and win here this evening. And you know what? We need some positivity, so I like that bet. I think I'm going to take the Kings -4 tonight on betonline.ag. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust for sports gambling. That's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And again, don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. You'll receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. You have sat through many, many years of the Kings being a, for really, I mean, to put it bluntly, just a bad defensive basketball team. I mean, many, many years.
Yeah, I've never covered a playoff team. So
exactly. And during this stretch since the Kings have made the playoffs in 2006, I don't remember a time that they were top 10 in defense or maybe even top half of the league in defense unless they scratched and clawed their way just by the skin of their teeth there. But looking at the Sacramento Kings defense right now, statistically, historically bad. Defensive rating is completely in the pits, and there's been graphics and statistical charts that have come out that show the Kings and the drop-off between the Kings with the 30th defense and I believe it's the Bulls with the 29th defense is significant. When I watch the Kings play, I see bad defense. But I also kind of understand when Tyrese Haliburton said, I didn't realize the defense was that bad until I saw the stats. And Luke Walton said something similar. He said, I expected us to struggle defensively. I didn't expect us to give up this many points and be this bad defensively. When you're watching the Kings, Katie, whether it's inside the Golden 1 Center or through a television screen at the studio, do you see that historically bad defense, or do you see the continuation of a problem that has been in Sacramento for well beyond this current roster?
You know, I'm not going to partake in kind of that narrative that this is kind of part of just who they've been and it's increasingly gotten worse. Like, I look at every season as individual seasons because really they're completely different in the sense that, yes, rosters are different, coaching staffs have been different, philosophies have been different. You know, last year Luke Walton came in and was really stressing defense, and he slowed this team down, and they were a decent defensive team. You know, they gave up 112 points a night. That's what they averaged at the end of the season. And really, I think that was about middle of the pack, if memory serves correctly, you know, and they're giving up 10 plus more points a night this season with not a lot of different personnel. I think the one difference to me is that players that are available. And, you know, we haven't talked a lot about this, and we'll cover it on our broadcast a little bit more tonight. You know, we've been talking about how bad this defense is, but what we haven't actually talked much about is kind of how shorthanded this Kings team has actually been. You know, I was thinking about it yesterday when we were having our planning call for today's game. It's just, you know, you've got Whiteside that's been out. We have seen nothing of Jabari Parker. DaQuan Jeffries, who I thought was going to play a little bit bigger role in that second unit this season, he has not played. And I started to think, like, oh my goodness, they really are playing a second unit that is mostly comprised of third string guys. So they've been relying more heavily on their starting unit. I think that to a certain degree, a little bit of fatigue factors into that, because we've seen it get progressively worse as the season went on. Like, the first six games, they were actually very good defensively, and it was kind of shocking to all of us, like, wow, they've really improved. But then as practice time has severely decreased, and the further you get away from that kind of steady dose of working your shell drills, your, you know, even being able to get up and down the court and play five on five. And then also, I think Marvin Bagley has had a bigger impact on that than people realize. He played just 13 games last season. And no matter what people want to say about Nemanja Bjelica, who was in that starting lineup in place of Bagley last year, he's not a great one-on-one defender in terms of he doesn't have great, you know, lateral speed or, you know, verticality or athleticism, but he actually is an extremely solid team defensive player. And so as I've done breakdowns and really gone back and watched game film, and I'm not trying to pick on Marvin, this is just the reality, he has been a really big part of kind of the defensive drop-off, because quite honestly, he doesn't have the experience. And a lot of the things that are happening are easily fixable things. Losing your man, sagging off, not knowing your personnel, getting lost defensively and trying to shoot gaps when you really should have been lock and trailing like a Kawhi Leonard or a Morris or something like that. And he's just making the wrong decisions. And, you know, he got blown by the other day by a big, I'm trying to remember who it was and what game it was. And it's like, well, he should never get blown by this. I think it was Steven Adams. Like, he's much faster than Steven Adams, but it comes from experience. And when I look at it and I'm trying to break it down from a fair perspective, because I don't like players, you know, having to take a lot of flack for things. You know, I have to be realistic. He's a young player. He has, in his third season now, he hasn't even, you know, his first 2 years didn't even combine to play a full NBA season. And so that matters. And then when you look back to his 1 year in college at Duke, they played mostly zone that year, which, you know, is not really something that Duke has traditionally done in the past. So there's insufficiencies there in terms of Marvin's development and court time. And, you know, Doug did a fantastic job the other day on the broadcast of breaking down kind of the things that we're doing. like Marvin's trying to do the right things, but right now it's just working on the fundamentals, like how his hips are rotated, his center of gravity, staying low, anticipation. Those are all things that he will absolutely get better at. But when you have kind of one of the main anchors on your defense, and with how much this Kings team switch and putting him out on guys like the Paul Georges of the world, the Kawhi Leonards, you know, you're putting him at a disadvantage almost every single time. And he's just not there fundamentally in his defensive development yet to be able to carry that type of a load on a consistent basis. So I think that that has had a lot to do with it. And I think it will improve. But I don't think it's going to be like a quick process.
It's safe to say that the Kings have their fair share of poor or below average individual defenders, but I don't think anybody is pretending like this is not a team-wide issue. Now, some want to blame the coaching staff and the schematics, which, or the scheme rather, which I have a hard time doing, because you have a guy like Rex Kalamian on the bench, and even the players themselves have said there's nothing wrong with the scheme. We're being asked to do fairly basic things, and that's what I see when I'm watching the game, Katie. It makes me want to pull my hair out, so I can only imagine how you're reacting. I'm not seeing the Kings being beaten by elaborate offensive schemes. I'm seeing breakdowns on basic pick and rolls. I'm seeing just basic reading the defense, forcing the Kings to scramble, moving the ball around the perimeter until you get an open shot. I'm seeing forcing switches and shooting over the top of players like Marvin Bagley. It seems like poor Marvin, every time he switched onto a guard, it's CJ McCollum or Dame Lillard, and they're hitting threes over the top of him no matter what he does. I'm not seeing super complex offensive styles that the Kings are having to deal with. And that's almost a positive to me, to where you know that that's fixable. But at the same time, it's disappointing that the Kings are having so much struggle with such basic offensive packages.
Well, listen, first of all, it starts with being able to guard your own man, like solid player-to-player defense. If you're constantly putting your team into rotation and help side defense and second line of defense and really forcing those rotations and getting the ball movement, so that if you move the ball two, three, four times against the Kings, you're going to get a wide open shot just because you've forced immediately with the first action of the offense for them to have to, you know, basically start scrambling. And so it starts with that. And that's, you know, that's one of the issues, but it hasn't been the biggest. Well, you have to also give credit to these opposing teams because they know what their schemes are and they know who to put into action. So if you see someone that is a weak link on a defense, you're going to constantly put them in the pick and roll. You know that they're going to switch. You know you're immediately going to get, you know, the action that you want, and you're going to get a high percentage shot. So it's not rocket science. They're not being, you know, outwitted game in and game out by just these, you know, elaborate offensive schemes and, you know, offensive geniuses on the opposing bench. It is basic things. And so that's why there is actually hope in my mind that this isn't something that is like a fundamental like issue for the team. These are things that they have to work on. And I'm actually curious, because obviously they play the Knicks this evening, and then the games on Sunday and Monday against Memphis on the road have been canceled, so they don't play again until next Wednesday. So they're going to have a solid 3 days of practice. They should have. And I want to see how they come out on Wednesday and what they look like defensively, because a lot of what I've felt is going on is like lack of practice. Yeah. And listen, I was a defensive player. That was, especially in the WNBA, that was 100% my niche, my role. And defense is one of the hardest things in basketball, in my opinion, because you can go out by yourself and you can work on your shot. You can work on your free throws. You can work on your ball handling alone. Defense is something that to best like drill it and practice it, you absolutely need to be in a practice setting. And quite frankly, in the NBA these days, you just don't have a lot of it. And it's interesting facing a guy like Tom Thibodeau this evening. The Knicks defense is the best in the league this year. It is shocking the turnaround that they have made in one season. Obviously, that franchise has been perpetually in a state of chaos.
Right.
And so Thibodeau has shown that it can be turned around very quickly, but they're also one of the lowest scoring teams in the league. But it doesn't matter. You know, it's that fundamental, you know, kind of debate of defense over offense and so on and so forth. What wins? And, you know, okay, well, you can't be the best defensive team, so you better be a better offensive team. Well, is that sustainable? But, you know, the thing for me with the Kings is just like, okay, no one in the league really practices big minutes anymore. You know, Thibodeau used to be this guy that would just long practices. He weighs heavily on his starting lineup. He will play them, you know, the most minutes of anyone in the league. And now the league has transitioned into this kind of rest versus rust kind of scenario, mm-hmm. you know, where you're, you know, sitting guys out, you're thinking long term. And that also, I don't think people realize, has also affected how teams practice and the type of practices they have. They might have a practice. It doesn't mean they're going contact. And that, to me, is a problem. And that is where defenses struggle. And that's where the Kings have struggled. So I'm curious to see in the next few days if they have some legitimate contact five-on-five practices and really drill defense, how they're going to look when they come out. Because if they look good and then it tapers off again, then it proves that it really is just about reps and practice for this young team.
And to your point, we've heard from Luke Walton, we've heard from Harrison Barnes that this team struggles when they face any sort of physicality. They're easily pushed off their spots. They're pushed out of their own game plan just by the physicality of the opponents that they face. And that's stuff that you can work on in practice. But also, I mean, in a normal season, practice time is at a premium. Now we're in a condensed season of 72 games in 130-something days to where the Kings are fortunate if they're not playing every other night and certainly have some back-to-backs coming up. But, Katie, I wanted to ask you your perspective as someone who has developed at the professional basketball level, especially defensively. I've tried to ask Luke Walton, like, is there a target date or time period this season where you want to start seeing tangible improvement? And I go back to last season where, before everything came to an end, the Kings were playing really good basketball. Suddenly it looked like they had a chance to put together a run, and who knows if they would have made it or not. But at that time, they were playing well and things were starting to click. It took nearly two-thirds of a season to get to that point, but things were going well. In your mind, at what point is there like a target month, a target amount of games where you want to see individual defensive improvement from Marvin Bagley or overall Kings defensive improvement? Is it on a night-to-night basis, or is it, hey, by this time the Kings have to be significantly better, noticeably better?
That's a really good question, Matt. I mean, it's difficult to really answer. It's kind of all of the above, really. I mean, I want to see individual improvement game in and game out from players. I actually think, you know, Buddy Hield is not the best defender in the league. I think he has made improvements this season. It doesn't mean he plays a perfect defensive game, and people are always going to point out the mistakes. They're not going to point out the good things. Marvin actually has had some improvement over the last handful of games. You know, he's taken some charges. He's been there to block shots. And those are things that are strides. Those are improvements. I want to see improvements in the areas where the Kings are really getting hurt, which is the pick and roll, which is, you know, guarding your player one-on-one. I want to see those strides as a team and by the individuals. But it's interesting because last year, they definitely, you know, they started 0-5 on the season, and then it was like doom and gloom, and they just kind of, you know, dredged through the mud, continued to get better. And then right before the season was canceled, I can't remember what their record was, but I think it was like 11-20 over, you know, or 11 out of 20 games before the season got canceled. So they were, you know, over 500 for those last 20. And it's funny because I talked to Alvin Gentry that night, who was then the head coach of the Pelicans. And that was the team that the Kings were playing on March 11th when the season got postponed. And it was a really tight race in terms of who was going to be able to eat their way into that final spot in the West. And he said, listen, he goes, I think that you guys have the best shot. He goes, you're playing hands down better than anyone else at this moment. And you guys had the momentum. And then the season came to a screeching halt.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's hard to answer the question of when I want to see improvement. I want to see it every game. But I would say that, you know, by the time we finish the first part of this NBA schedule, which I think it's out through the very first week of March is what the schedule has been released now, I do want to see massive improvements defensively, because there is something about if you're not gradually chipping away at it, then this is the type of team and this is the type of franchise who has struggled over the last several years, where any type of loss of momentum and where you're not slowly gradually gaining, I feel like there's mental collapse, and then that's the hardest thing to come back from.
We'll end with this. I know one of the chief frustrations that I have, and I'm sure many Kings fans have, is the overall inconsistencies of the Sacramento Kings, where one night, or even during one half, in the example of the two Clippers games, the Kings will look really solid on both ends of the floor. Mm-hmm. I thought their first quarter defensively against the Clippers was basically all we could ask for, holding them to 25 yeah. points. Now, they still trailed at five or by five at the half, but there wasn't anybody that was surprised with what happened during that third quarter. Those inconsistencies where the Kings could look so good on the defensive end to start the season, get off to a 3-1 start, and now be competing for the bottom spot in the Western Conference. I know that frustrates people, and I asked Henry Turner about this from his former player perspective, and I'll kind of ask you the same thing. I asked Henry about how difficult it is to play with that same consistent effort and hustle and drive on a nightly basis, regardless of what type of player you are, but especially as a player like De'Aaron Fox, for example, who's the star, the motor, the head of the snake of the team, mm-hmm. who's expected to do so much really on both ends of the floor, but especially offensively. How difficult is it to play with that same consistent energy and hustle on a nightly basis in the NBA? And Henry told me, look, we're basketball players. This is what we love to do. That's, you shouldn't have to ask that of us. That should be expected of us. Do you feel that same way, or is it difficult to get up for every single, I mean, it's a long season, even 72 games. I can't imagine getting yeah. that mentally prepared for every single one.
You know, I can only speak for myself, and I can acknowledge the fact that everyone is made up of a different DNA. But for me personally, I guess strength was that I consistently played with energy. And that was one of the things that teams relied on me for. And so it's hard for me in my brain to come to terms with people not being able to consistently give effort and energy, mm-hmm. because those are things we can control. We can't control what happens, what the other team does through the course of the game. We can't control the officials. We can't control the coach's decision on who to play and how often to play or whatever the play calls are, but you can control your energy and effort. And I will say, for the most part, I don't feel like this team is not giving effort. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're massively affected by kind of their own mishaps, right? I think that their energy is being kind of sometimes sucked out of them, for lack of a better word, because of the mistakes that they're making. So you talk about that Clippers game where, yes, the first quarter they played well. The second quarter wasn't as good defensively, but they were still within striking distance. And then the third quarter happens and it just goes all to pot, right? Well, here's the issue. If you look at it, every game, it's kind of a different thing to nail down. If it were the same problem consistently over and over and over again, then it's like, oh my goodness, what's going on? But I feel like every night there's a different problem that results in the same issue, which is your defense, right? Second quarter against the Clippers the other night, they truly had a breakdown in terms of just absolutely turning the ball over. They allowed 9 points off turnovers, and they had 6 in that quarter alone. And I believe in the first quarter, they just had 2. And so that was kind of where I felt like the momentum was shifting, because what their turnovers were doing, they were live ball turnovers. It's not like it was a moving screen where the ball stops, you take it out of bounds, that type of thing.
Right.
Live ball turnovers that immediately put their defense into shuffling and transition and giving the Clippers numbers. And guess what? The Clippers are going to, more times than not, be very good in transition. That's what winning teams do. They had 22 points in fast break. Kings only had 9. And then the third quarter started and the turnovers again were the issue. And so it's like, there are some games where, yes, their defense is bad. It's the pick and roll. It's this. They're getting good shots offensively. They're just not able to convert on them. That's also making them have to scramble defensively. They're not able to set their defense while the other team is taking the ball out of bounds. It's every game, it's like a different issue. Last game against the Clippers, their defense looked good until they started turning the ball over. And then not many teams' defense in the league does look good when you're constantly trying to shuffle in transition and match up against numbers. So, you know, I think that overall, if they can try and limit issues each game. And okay, let's see how they come out today against the Knicks, who are a great defensive team. Are they going to turn the ball over? Is that going to be the same issue again? Or is that going to be improved upon? And what issue could possibly pop up tonight? So I guess trying to like wrap it up in kind of a concise thought is just, I want them to not have the same issue every night. And it's their defense has struggled, but it's because of multiple factors being different every night. So if they were just coughing up the ball and turning it over 20 plus times a night, and like they did, gave up 29 points off turnovers to the Clippers the other night, if that was the problem night in and night out, then it's like, oh my gosh, there's no improvement, right? So all you can do is take what you did wrong in the last game, try to improve upon it in the next game, and another problem will pop up. And you just try and fix that. And that's how you make improvement in this league. That's the only thing you can do.
Kings and Knicks tonight from the Golden One Center. Unfortunately for us, Katie Hunter will be all over the broadcasts. Katie, it's a real treat to have you back here on the Locked On Kings podcast. I love chatting with you. I miss working with you every single day. I can't wait to be able to in a normal situation, sit and chat and talk Kings basketball with you in a full Golden One Center one day. Hopefully we'll work our way back to that. But it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Take care, Matt.
Katie really is the best. Can't wait to have her back on the Locked On Kings podcast, hopefully in the near future. I hope you enjoyed that. If you want to respond to anything that Katie and I talked about on today's episode of the podcast, please do so on Twitter. You can reach me at Matt George Radio there. Or if you're not on Twitter, feel free to email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. If you have any questions, any comments, want to share your opinion, anything like that, please send that to me. Also on Twitter, my DMs are open, even if we don't follow each other. If you want to tweet me in a more private way, you can DM me at any time. I do my best to try and get back and respond to every single person. If I don't get back to you right away, don't worry. I will either see it or have seen it, and I mean to get back to you. I apologize if I haven't gotten back to anybody who's already reached out at this point in time. I'll do my best to make sure I get to all of you. As a reminder, the Kings do not play the Memphis Grizzlies on Sunday or on Monday. Both of those games have been postponed or canceled because of COVID-19 contact tracing. So the Sacramento Kings, after they play the Knicks tonight, will basically have the weekend off in terms of playing games. However, we fully expect the Kings will be using that time to practice and catch up as much as possible. Certainly work on their defensive mistakes. And hopefully they're bringing momentum into those practices with a win tonight over the New York Knicks. Like I said during my Bet Online read, I'm taking the Kings -4 tonight. I hope you are as well. Hopefully we can make money and more importantly get a Kings win and really enjoy ourselves tonight. You can follow along that game with me on Twitter at Matt George Radio. And of course, we will be back next week to recap this Kings-Knicks game and talk about whatever other necessary Kings topics and conversations are out there. I really enjoyed having Katie and Jason Anderson on the last couple of podcasts. If you haven't heard my conversation with JA, be sure to go back and listen to that. And I look forward to bringing you more great guests, hopefully next week and in the weeks, months, and years to come here on Locked On Kings. Until my next episode, please stay healthy, enjoy your weekend, stay safe, and I'll talk to you soon. My name is Matt George. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.